Everybody, I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Outspoken, informative,
the Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, bright and early on a Saturday morning, it is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening on 107.3 FM around the Baton Rouge capital city area. Glad to have you guys with us. And everybody out there watching on our Facebook Live and YouTube Live, good morning to you. Hope you guys had a great week. And guess what? You can continue to keep up with the Jaguar Journal outside of our Facebook and YouTube. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be sure to type in the Jaguar Journal. And if you haven't followed us on social media, aside from Facebook, go to our X and Instagram, type in on X and Instagram, Jaguar Journal _. And if you're just out there listening, you want to follow us on Facebook and YouTube, type in Jaguar Journal. Go hit that like and subscribe button on our Facebook and YouTube channel. It costs nothing. It's free. I don't need your social security number, your birth certificate. I don't need your new ID. I don't need none of that. I just need your support as we continue to grow this thing. And you can also find the Jaguar Journal in the link tree. And that'll give you the link to all of where we're at across the world on social media and everything else, man. Hope you guys had a good week. It is springtime. It is starting to warm up. The weather is beautiful. Festival season. Hope everybody are getting ready. I know the crawfish boils are rolling. I smell it in the air on the weekends. It's Easter at that. So if you're into the whole religion thing, you know, everybody's going to be dappered down for church tomorrow. The baby's going to be giving their Easter speeches, and eggs are high. Y'all doing Easter egg hunts? Y'all dying eggs this year? The eggs are a little expensive. If the last time you went to the store, the eggs aren't the same price as they were last year. All right, so it may alter some things, right? You just get those I forgot what they call it. You just pop them open and put some candy in them. Yeah, you can do those eggs. They go to the store, Dollar Tree or something, they least expensive. You just pop it open. Or if, you know, if the kid's been really good, put a couple dollars in there for them. Hide that thing somewhere and let them come find it. But, you know, happy holidays to everyone. I know people are traveling. People are with their families this weekend. It's a beautiful weekend to do it as we're getting ready for spring. We're already in it. Baseball is rolling. I'm going to talk about baseball on the next segment. Southern is up in Pine Bluff this weekend, taking on the Golden Lions, and I'm not too pleased at the results I've been seeing. I put it on social media. I've got a lot of response back. I'm not pleased of the results that I'm getting, but we'll break it down. We'll look at the standings around the conference. And aside from that, we're going to have great conversations today as we're going to welcome my man Dawson Odoms, former Southern University head football coach. He's going to be here on the show with us. We're going to talk about NIL and how it's changing the landscape of college athletics. I know you guys have seen the stories week in and week out in terms of what you've been seeing when it comes to student athletes asking for things and what they want. And what is this world starting to look like in terms of college athletics when it comes to NIL? Aside from that, Southern University had a spring football game last week, so we're going to definitely recap the spring football game. We're going to have offensive coordinator Mark Frederick's going to come on, talk to us about the offense, and defensive coordinator Coach Henry Miller talk to us about the defense. I know you guys are interested. I didn't get a chance to make the spring game. My son had a soccer tournament last week in Houston, so I left it to you guys to tell me about it. So you guys can call in 225-499-1073 is the number. Once again, 225-499-1073 is the number. If you want to call in, tell me what you saw. You know, give me some idea of what we look like. I've been to the practice, which scrimmage ain't nothing more than a glorified practice. We're just going to run some reps. We're going to go through the motion. I'm going to give you a little bit of ooh and ah, and then the rest is just making sure guys are just learning the system and executing the plays. But, I'm not going to show you my hand. It's like spades. Y'all know how to play dominoes. You don't never show nobody what's in your hand. You're secretive about it. I do just enough to put it out there for you to understand that I at least know how to play. But for everything else in terms of the strategy, I don't get out of the way. You will see that when it comes in the fall for game day. So right now, if you guys had a chance to go check it out, I'm sure as I look around the country, spring games weren't that big this year because you're starting to understand the world that we live in when it comes to football. We live in the poach society because everybody's poaching players because of the transfer portal. And there are thousands of players right now in the transfer portal from D3, D2, all the way up to D1 and all the way around looking for a home. And, that, you know, one of the things about it is guys are going to play football for a school in the spring. If things are hit or miss, he ain't feeling it. It ain't this, it ain't that. He hit the transfer portal and looking for a new home for the fall. So then you having to deal with depleted rosters across the board, too, where guys are, you know, leaving somebody who you thought you could depend on. And as we see at Tennessee, when it comes to NIL, you have to be able to move on from a guy just simply because we have a discrepancy of what we want to do with money moving forward as it relates to paying out that student athlete. So there's a whole changing world out there. And we're going to talk about all of that from so many different levels today. And that's what Dawson Odoms is going to come on and talk to us about. You know, former coach at Norfolk State, former coach at Southern University. So other than that, man, how was you guys? We hope everybody had a good week. Things have been rolling. Things have been looking good on my end, man. My son last week, as you know, I was out of the studio, had a soccer tournament over in Houston. So it's like spring football game, your son's soccer game. I got to go see my son's soccer game, all right? So, well, we got a caller? Tell Chuck, come on. We got time. All right, yeah, let's get Chuck on the line. Good morning, Chuck. What's going on, man?
Hello. I'm just going to be early. I know you have some great, great guests coming on. But you were just talking about what's going on now with the spring game. I know you all had your spring game and many others like Florida A&M and others. It's great that you all are able to have spring games in these times because, like, as you said, poaching is a concern. And I look at this guy. He's been center of attention this past week before as Nico Iamaleva from Tennessee. I see he's going to UCLA, and people say, okay, he went from Tennessee to UCLA. You know, in University of California system, they had a lot of budget problems there. There's a budget crisis out there in California. But he's been, you know, all these things, these demands he had, and they've been making jokes about him wanting how much he wanted and talking about this fancy vehicle that's been reported. And I said, gosh, this is where we are in college athletics. And even, you know, in women's college basketball side, it's been with the transfer portal and money floating around. That's why a lot of them not quick to go to WNBA. I watched the WNBA draft the other evening. And these things are just it's grabbing attention. This is where we are. And I don't want to go far into it. I'm going to let you, I know you can go further into it. But this is where we are. And like I said, Nico Iamaleva is one that's been the center of attention.
You got a chance to go over there. Cut that down a little bit for me. Yeah, there we go. You had a chance to go over to Grambling for me. We need you to be our eyes and ears over there at Grambling for me, Chuck.
Brother White, Grambling, you don't have SID or all of that. I didn't, you know, stuff was going on, you know, because the way things are going now, and things I'm doing now, and you don't have College A. Nicholson around. This is before social media and internet. You just don't have that anymore. And that's been the talk about sports information directors. You just don't see that too much floating around nowadays. You still have Brian Howard. He used to be at Grambling. He's at Alabama A&M, and he's worked at Florida A&M. I got to know him quite well, but I didn't know what was going on. And I know Mickey Joseph was talking about he played at Nebraska, saying that some of the players, with the NIL about them, giving money. It's a situation about them paying some money and all that. If they decide to hit the transfer portal, that's for another discussion.
Chuck, what you and the family doing for Easter, man?
Just gonna be right here around the house. Not much going on. Probably going, not doing all the cooking anymore. Might get something from a place somewhere and just have a meal there, because things do change in life. End up doing things the older you become.
Well, Chuck, man, I appreciate you calling in as always, man. You know we make time for you, Chuck.
All right. It's always great conversing with you and the student ones in the comments as well. You all have a happy Easter. I'm just going to recognize everyone. If it's Easter or if it's Passover, whatever. I recognize everyone. Just have a great holiday season.
Same to you, Chuck, man. Appreciate you for calling in as always, man.
All right. You all take care.
All right. That's my man, Chuck, man, giving us a call this morning, letting us know what's going on around. And look, it's always good to have Chuck. He interact. Where Chris at? Chris, where you at? Was you at the spring game? I'm waiting on your call because I want to hear your evaluation, Chris. Where you at? I ain't heard from you. I'm talking football today for you too, Chris. You can give me about 8:30, all right? About 8:30, Chris, if you out there and you're listening. If you up right now, about 8:30, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your evaluation of what you saw after we get done talking to the coaches, because we're going to talk offense and defense and everything else. But, Chris, I got to hear what you got to say about the Mighty Jaguars. I know I can't move forward out of the spring without hearing your opinion, man, because you're going to keep it real with me. And no, you're not getting that apology from Coach Dooley. You might as well just put that in the bag and throw that in the trunk. You ain't going to get that one. But we're going to move forward and see, man. I want to see what you saw, Chris. I didn't get a chance to see it. I've been to practice, but I didn't get a chance to go to the spring game. So what you guys saw may be different from what I see. So I want to talk to you guys about that. But right now what I got to do, I got to take a break, pay some bills, and I'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk some swag baseball, Southern up in Pine Bluff this weekend, and then we'll look around the conference. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. Stay tuned more to Jaguar Journal. Back, it's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you with us. Good morning, everybody out there listening on 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live. I'm sharing it all across the groups right now as we speak. Glad to have you guys. And once again, if you have not followed us on any of our social media, I need you to go do that right now, later, whatever the case. I just need you to do it. Don't need anything from you. It's free. Don't cost nothing to support. Don't cost nothing to keep up. And that's all we want to do is have you support and keep up with us as we continue to grow the show. Of course, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube for those that are watching all across the country on our YouTube, and as well as on X and Instagram. Type in the Jaguar Journal _ and Facebook, the Jaguar Journal. Very simple, very easy. If you've been listening to the show, it's simply the Jaguar Journal. Of course, I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Let's jump into some swag baseball. Last week, I didn't get a chance to cover baseball much. Had Paul Bryant, the athletic director at Alabama A&M, on the show, as well as Dr. Travian Scott up at Grambling, their athletic director. Had a good opportunity to conversate with both of them, send a direction that those departments are heading in and the leadership that they're bringing to those specific areas. Ooh, that's a... Y'all know that word? Anybody know that word? But for those specific areas, but those schools, man. So we had an opportunity to chop it up with them. But I go back to last week. Let's take baseball, right? Alcorn coming into town. Southern took on Alcorn. And Alcorn came into Baton Rouge winless in conference play. And guess what? They picked up their first conference victory against Southern on last Friday as Southern fell 11-7 to Alcorn State in game one. Southern picked it up in game two. You would have thought this was football season with this score. 23-19 was the baseball score on Saturday's game two. And listen, 23-19, whew, where was the pitching? And then in game three on Sunday, Southern won. It is still a football score. 16-6 was the final score in that one. The Southern was able to close out the series and win it 2-1. And then we move on to a midweek game. The Jaguars traveled up to Starkville, Mississippi to take on Mississippi State. Mississippi State all over the Jaguars in this one. 16-2 in that ball game. Then Southern on the road again, having to go up. Y'all know Pine Bluff, my neck of the woods, taking on the Golden Lions, my mom's alma mater. And this one hurt me when I saw it on social media. Of course, my boy Cameo, who works in athletics up there, he sent me the link for the baseball game. And I knew that was the reason he sent me the link, right? Normally, I don't get a link because Southern probably whooping UAPB in something. But I got the link sent to me this time, and I click on it, and UAPB is up big in this ball game, and UAPB ultimately wins game one of this weekend series 15-1. First pitch was on Thursday. So, you know, I post on social media. I'm like, what the hell is this? All right, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this team. You can't lose to Pine Bluff like that. That's kind of where I draw the line, right? I can handle a lot. I have to draw the line, though, when it comes to Pine Bluff, just because of the backlash. Everybody, you know, I get called the traitor. I get called, you know, you done went down there with them people and you act different now, whatever the case. So I like to whoop up on them when we get a chance. I don't like them to whoop up on us. Because then the ammunition, they like, well, we beat y'all in baseball. Then I got to say, you know what? I don't really even care about baseball this year. I'm waiting for football season. I hate to be in that position. And I'm in that position because then they played again in game two yesterday. It wasn't any better. 13-3. UAPB gets the victory. Man, what is Southern doing up there, man? Just giving up massive runs. 15 runs in game one, 13 in game two. That's 28 total runs to Southern's four. Over the two-day span, 28-4. Game three today at 1 o'clock, so I'm just hoping. You know, the series, the UAPB has already won it, and UAPB is headed in the right direction. I'm going to talk about them because last week they won a series over Texas Southern, which is tough, and that was their first series win over Texas Southern since 2016. I tell you how long it's been since this program up in Pine Bluff has found some success, but they are now headed in the right direction. When I go to the SWAC standings, you'll see exactly where they at. But Southern right now down 0-2 in this series. UAPB is one. Can Southern just get one? Southern, can you get me one? Coach Crenshaw, I was tempted to call you this morning, but I said I can't bother him. He on the road. I get it. I understand what it's like to be on the road, but this is unacceptable. I can't deal with it. And then the people in Pine Bluff making sure I have to deal with it. Don't set me up like that. And it ain't even about me, but I got to deal with that, okay? Come on, Jaguars. And I saw some pictures of some of the fans from up in that Little Rock, Pine Bluff area for Southern. We're at the game taking pictures and checking them out. Southern takes on Nichols. They'll return home on Tuesday at Lee Hines Field against Nichols. First pitch is going to be 6 o'clock. And then next week, Mississippi Valley State will be in Baton Rouge for a three-game series on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And guess what, folks? We're almost on the back end of this schedule. It'll be conference tournament before you know it with Mississippi Valley. Next week, the week after that, the Jaguars will be traveling over to Houston to take on Texas Southern before returning home against McNeese State. Then they'll have to travel way up to Huntsville, Alabama to take on Alabama A&M. And then they're going to have a series with Jackson State to close out the regular season. And we know what that's like. You know, that's a rivalry game, having to go up to Jackson for a three-game series. You know what that's going to be all about. But right now, we got to focus on making sure we can close out with a win over Pine Bluff on the road before coming home against Nichols and Valley next week. So right now, the Jaguars struggling, not looking good for them. And let's look over at the SWAC standings, right? Let's start at the bottom. Let's look at Alcorn State, the Braves, who are 1-15 in conference play. They got their first conference victory last week here in Baton Rouge in game one against Southern. The Braves are 6-28 on the season. You move up, you look at Alabama A&M, who is 2-15 in conference play, 9-28 on the season. They're currently riding a five-game losing streak. Above them, the Delta Devils of Mississippi Valley State, 5-13 in conference play. They're 10-18 overall, riding a three-game losing streak. How about Prairie View, the Panthers? 4-10 in conference play. They're 8-30 overall, and they're riding a 13-game losing streak right now. It's tough to be at the bottom. And then here goes Southern, right along with everybody with this losing streak. 7-10 in conference play, 15-22 overall on the season, riding a three-game losing streak right now. Then right above them, tied at 7-10, it's Jackson State. 19-17 overall on the season. They won their last two. Here's Pine Bluff, working their way up. They're 8-6 in conference play, 10-27 on the season right now. Grambling State, the Tigers, 11-5 in conference play. They're 16-19 overall, riding a five-game win streak. Then we get to the top three. Texas Southern, the Tigers, who are 12-5 in conference play. They're 18-20 overall, riding a two-game winning streak. Alabama State. How about the Alabama State Hornets? They're always in the thick of things every year. They're 13-4 in conference play, 21-19 overall on the season, riding a three-game win streak. Who's in a slump right now? How about the Rattlers of Florida A&M? They're 13-4. They're still not a slump, but they're 13-4 in conference play. They're 19-17 overall, but they're in a three-game losing streak right now. And the best team right now in conference play in the SWAC on the baseball side, hands down, the Bethune-Cookman Wildcats coming out of Daytona Beach, Florida. 15-2 on the season, 23-16. They're riding a six-game win streak. Currently the longest win streak in the conference, with Grambling right there behind them at a five-game win streak. So if you're looking at Southern's at the bottom, near the bottom. Four teams below Southern. That's Prairie View, Mississippi Valley, Alabama A&M, and Alcorn. Southern and Jackson both tied at 7-10 in conference play. This Southern team has given up a lot of runs on the season, a lot of hits in games. You start to rack up the errors, and then you start to see just the lack of success from the pitching side of things. And what happens? You get these high-scoring games that we've been seeing with the Jaguars. As I said, giving up 13 runs yesterday, 15 on Thursday. They gave up 16 runs Tuesday at Starkville against Mississippi State. They gave up 19 last Saturday against Alcorn. They gave up 15 last Wednesday before against UNO. They gave up 12 runs in game 3 against Grambling. They gave up 14 runs in game 2 against Grambling, and they gave up 12 runs in game 1 against Grambling. When they played UNO the other time, they gave up 20 runs. 18 runs to Bethune-Cookman in game 2, 12 runs in game 1. They gave up 15 runs against McNeese. So you guys see where I'm going with it? 17 runs against Prairie View, 19 against Incarnate Word. I can keep going. That's a lot of runs. I can equate that back to pitching and errors. And it seems like right now Southern does not have what they need in the chamber when it comes to the depth at pitching right now, giving up a lot of runs. 18 runs to Alabama State in game 2, 14 runs to Alabama State in game 1. So it seems to be tough on the Jaguars right now. Coach Crenshaw and his staff are going to have to get that together, and I need them to get it together now. I'm going to send them a text here and say, man, I try to be uplifting today and just say good luck against Pine Bluff, because 0-3 to Pine Bluff, I can't take it. That's just not who we're supposed to be losing to. I can take some, but Pine Bluff? No. Mm-mm. Don't sit well with me this morning. A little unsettling at the fact, there would be possibility Southern Gold could be possibly 0-3 against Pine Bluff. I made it a point of emphasis to continue to say that over and over and over, because I want people to realize where I stand on this. I just can't, it don't sit well in my stomach. I lose my appetite when I look up and I see that score. And I thought we was going to shake back. I was ready to talk my talk yesterday and be like, you know what? Hey, the shake back is real. It ain't. We still dealing with a hangover. A big one, a tough one. I hope it don't linger over into today. So let's get ready to take another break. And when I come back on the other side, we're going to have my man Dawson Odoms, former coach at Southern University, come on and talk to us. We're going to talk NIL, get you an understanding of what this world is starting to evolve and change and look like now that the student athlete, and can we still really call them student athletes in this day and age? Because it's almost just athlete. What about student is even there when it comes to the money? So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. We're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. Hope you are having a good morning with us. It's bright and early, 7:33 a.m. to be exact. Everybody out there tuned in on 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Turn your radio up just a little bit louder. Got a very special guest this morning here on the show. If you're in Baton Rouge and you've been around Baton Rouge, you know him very well. He was the former Southern University head football coach. He's third all-time on the wins list with a 63-32 record at Southern, and in conference play, 53-16 in the SWAC. Moved on to Norfolk State. Things didn't quite work out, but here he is with me this morning, my man, Coach Dawson Odoms. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I couldn't be better, man. It's always a great day anytime your feet hit the floor.
Let me ask you this for the people out there, man. What you up to these days, man?
Well, just going around, watching a little spring ball, visiting different places, just really just clearing my mind and getting ready for what's next. I really believe that the next chapter of my life is going to be the best chapter. I can't control what done happened in the past. I'm all focused on what's going forward and making sure that I'm preparing myself for what's in front of me, really just working on me, working on my golf game and really getting that fine-tuned, exercising and really just reading my word, man. It's just, I think sometimes when your life is reshifted, then therefore it comes a time for you to refocus and rededicate and just understand the priorities of life, get back to the foundation, get back to doing the things that got you to where you were and just prioritizing those things and moving forward. I mean, life always will throw you a curveball. It's part of life, and mentally you got to be able to handle it. And if you root it and got a good foundation, and my good foundation is the word, I always fall on my feet. So I'm just being patient and waiting on what's next.
Listen, next time you get a chance and you're around, man, and you're working on your golf game, can you help me out? I'm horrible, Coach. Yeah, I went to the range the other day. It don't look too good for me moving forward. I need some help.
Well, the best advice I give people is when you're beginning to do something, seek out an expert to help you.
You?
No. You're gonna need somebody that can give you some lessons. So, because my golf game and what I know works for me.
Okay.
So you need to get somebody that is a teacher, is an instructor that can look at your swing, look at what you're doing, look at your clubs and say, hey, you're a beginner. Let's teach you how to first stand. You know, you got to go to the, it's like learning, man. You got to go to the ABCs of life. And once you get the ABCs down, it becomes fun because you're not out there and you're not getting frustrated. When you try to do something on your own, it's frustrating because you're not going to have the success that you're looking for because you don't have the fundamentals that's going to garnish that kind of success.
So you basically tell me you ain't finna show me nothing.
Well, I can't show you because you're gonna still be bad. I'm just telling you. If you invest in three lessons, you know, three basic lessons,
yeah,
I promise you your golf game will take off a lot faster. But picking up those clothes and going out there and think you go just hit that ball.
No, it don't work.
It don't work like that.
It don't work.
It don't work like that.
You know, as we had this conversation today, and you and I have been able to have conversations off the record about, you know, what is happening in the world around us when we talk about athletics. NIL is this whole new realm of things, name, image, and likeness that we're starting to unravel in college athletics. And a lot of times we get so caught up in talking about football with it because it's the most recognizable sport for many when it comes to college athletics. But there's a trickle down all the way from a gymnast to the baseball player to the women's basketball player to track and field. So many different layers to NIL. And then you factor in the transfer portal, which is basically like shopping yourself around, trade, whatever else the case. But for you, your thoughts, just let's start with the idea of NIL with college athletes today.
Well, I think it's really great that student athletes can be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. But it's a lot of rules and regulations that I don't think were spelled out in the beginning, and just understanding, you know, how we're going to navigate as we move forward. And just understanding, I think when people hear NIL, that it's two parts of it. You have a collective part and a directive part. And when you look at the collective part, that's mainly facilitated by boosters and donors. And what they do is they facilitate that to student athletes. And you have a, for instance, you may have a student athlete that may come in for a company and they're able to receive different things from that company. Like, they don't necessarily have to receive money. They can receive product. They could be NIL for Smoothie King. Well, Smoothie King might not give them money, but they might give them free smoothies. So it's just different ways to capitalize on your name, image, and likeness. And then in return, they can use your name for promoting their products. When you talk about the directive, we're talking about now you don't have to go through the collective distribute to student athletes. But when you talk about the directive, it's between a business and the student athletes and their teams or their representation or whoever's representing them. So the directive part of it is now that I can say, hey, you working for me. So now I can give you direct funds. I can exchange direct cash to you for your services. I might have a business. We might have a event going on that we need you to appear at, and then you're able to come and appear at those events. And I can represent you by myself as a company, or it can be multiple companies that you work for that represent you. So when you see commercials and stuff like that, those are probably directives that are going straight to the individual, and they're capitalized on that financially. So, but with that, it's a lot of moving parts that you got to understand when you're part of it. And coaches and athletic departments got to spend a lot of time educating, because you can get really messed up and stuck when it comes to NIL.
Let me ask you this, because as we factor these different perspectives into this NIL collective, we're talking money, we're talking opportunities. When you look at this, talk to me about what we call student athlete. For some of these young men and young women, there's a lot of money on the table for them and a lot of contribution, as you could say, coming their way. And listening to something that you sent me from the University of Florida, of course, in basketball, just winning the national championship, and the guy going around asking them about classes, and they almost like, what class? What does this do now moving forward, especially for those in that upper echelon of the bag, as they say, when you look at student athlete? Does it still basically have the title student athlete, and are they actually student athletes at this point?
Well, I think because we're dealing with institutions, they're going to always try to hold on to the title that they're student athletes. And I posed a question, and I asked colleagues, I asked friends. The NFL teams have a team meet, and some of these guys in the NFL are making similar dollars to these guys in college. And I asked people, I said, not probably one coach in the NFL start the meeting off saying, hey, son, you're struggling in chemistry. No, because we're paying you to do a job. And when you look at NIL, when you look at collective, and when you look at directive, they're getting paid to be athletes. Those people ain't concerned about, hey, man, how was that chemistry experiment? Regular students are not having these conversations about NIL. We're only talking about athletes. So when we're talking about student athletes, and we're talking about giving them thousands of dollars, in some cases millions of dollars, then my question is, where does the 20-hour rule play into that? Because if we're going to get you that kind of money for being an athlete, whatever sport you in, I'm going to need you to be performing at the greatest level that you can perform at. But how can you perform maximum level when half of your time is spent on being a student And three-fourths of coaching is financial literacy, mental wellness. You're spending so much time on these other topics, but they tell you you can only spend 20 hours on football a week. And then in the offseason, you can only spend this number of hours a week. So I don't understand it, how you can say we can pay them X amount of dollars, but yet keep them in the same umbrella as being student athletes. If you're a student athlete, the only way we could verify that was that you were an amateur. Once you start receiving funds, my million-dollar question is, does the amateur status now go out the window? Because one of the questions that's always on the application is, have you ever received funds? And if you check yes, that means you were a semi-pro, but you were considered a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And my definition of, if we're going to pay them, then are they student athletes or are they pros? Because what defines a student athlete now? Because what we're doing is creating lifestyles for individuals that if they don't go to pro, they're accustomed to making $20,000 a month. What job is leisure studies or general studies going to provide you that kind of money?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about depression. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about increases in mental health and decision-making. This whole landscape for 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old individuals is changing daily, and we've got to get a grasp on it. And I think that's the major problem that everybody is having, is that it's a free fall. It's the wild, wild west. And it started out the wild, wild west. It's hard to tame. If you would have started out with rules and regulation and structure, it would have been easy to implement and adjust as you move forward.
Let me ask you this, especially on, let's look at the FCS level. And for a lot of people that's out there listening, they would like to know, how do you survive in this world of the FCS level? Let's take a Southern, let's take a Norfolk State, Grambling, Jackson, NCCU, and therefore, what's the way to survive when you know you don't have the deep pockets like the other schools? If I say I can give you $20,000, you say, well, North Dakota State offering me $75,000. How do we survive that? What does that future look like, especially then when you factor in the transfer portal, who right now has thousands of kids in there thinking the grass is greener somewhere else, and ultimately there's going to be thousands of kids in there that's going to end up nowhere in the fall?
Well, it's got to be a mentality shift, and your mentality shift got to be in line with reality of where you at. When you look at the universities that you just mentioned, it's like, okay, when we look at the structure of some of these universities, when was the last time that, you know, something major as it related to infrastructure or buildings or something taking place on your campus for your athletic department?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a new gym, whether that's a new field house, you know, in the MEAC, nobody has a field house. You know, so what is the reality and what does winning look like? We done went through, you got Title IX, you got all these things that are happening in college sports, you got transgender, you got all these things that are happening. And so therefore, you got to be thinking about, okay, these guys need space. These women need space. And they need space to be themselves. They need space to operate. And when you look at that and you say, okay, what does winning look like? And winning and facilities and NIL, they look the same. I just was listening to T.C. Taylor. I saw a clip on him. I think theirs is called the 1400 Collective or something like that. And they was talking about, now's the time. Now's the time for us to stay at the top and put money into it. Because if we don't, once we go to the bottom, it's you're never going to raise up. The window of opportunity and to capitalize on that window of opportunity is small. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the shifts in trying to get NFL former players to become coaches, because from a financial standpoint, they're looking at that and saying, okay, how can we raise money is that going to help us raise money? If it is going to help us raise money, what does that money look like? But in order to do that, you have to have a plan before you hire the individual and not put the plan together once the individual get there.
Mm. Say something because right there.
If you're trying to figure it out once they get there, you're already behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to capitalize on every second of their name, image, and likeness. So if you don't have multi-million dollars to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, then it's not going to work. I commend, what's my guy name? That's the AD at Jackson.
Ashley Robertson.
I commend him, man, because I've been a fan of him, you know, everywhere he's been, and I've seen how his career has gone, and I see how that plan that he had when he hired Deion Sanders to be able to say, okay, I know this is a temporary fix, but how can we maximize this temporary fix in this short period of time to get Jackson State to a level that we know he can help us get to?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They were able to improve facilities. They were able to get some things in place. And now T.C. Taylor has come in, and he's done a great job of trying to say, now, how can we sustain this? Because you don't have the same circle of people that Deion Sanders had. So now we're relying on Jackson State, true alums. Not a whole lot of outside business help, you know, that we're trying to get. We got enough graduates that's coming from here to say, we can do this, but we got to do it together. And capitalizing on the momentum that they have. That's the biggest thing, is that it takes money, man. It takes a lot of money now in today's college athletics to sustain and stay at the top. And to get the better players, you got to have some money. If you don't have money, you're not going to get the better players.
And that's the tough conversation, because for a lot of these institutions, they are already labeled with the notion of low resource. Then it's like, all right, is it worth putting the resource where we already low on money for this athlete that could be going to other things, like you said, helping improve facilities and whatever else the shortfalls are that really are urgent need to improve?
Well, and it's true that, you know, just think about it, though. How many players go back to their institutions at low resource schools and say, man, this the same way it was when I was there? Well, I was there in 1992. You know, it's like, okay, what I see, we done built new dorms, we done built new classroom buildings, but this stadium is the same since I was there. But when you look at it and you say, okay, some of the low resources schools have really done a great job of trying to improve facilities. I know when we was at Norfolk, we got a locker room. I think when Coach Vic just came in, I think they redid the meeting rooms and the space for them. And, you know, I kind of laid out a plan and say, hey, these things will help the next coach come in. One thing about me, man, I'm going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want people to be successful. It doesn't matter what that look like in relationship to me, because I'm a God-fearing man. I just believe that my job is always to try to promote other people and be supportive of them. And so I laid out a plan and said, if you do these things, it'll kind of help the next guy coming in. Well, you think about this. We're in 2025, okay? And you talk about, when you talk about low resources, we're mainly talking about HBCUs. And we're saying that, okay, how many of their athletic training facilities got indoor pools or cold tubs and hot tubs? How many of them got sustainable training? See, we get caught up on NIL. But if our presentation is good with our facilities, people will come play for us. So where are you going to spend your money? You're going to spend your money on getting a good player and bringing them to bad facilities, which you're going to get disgruntled. You know, it's other ways to create a level of experience for student athletes that's outside of NIL.
And I know you talked about it when you were here, even the dietetic and nutrition part of the program.
Just having a training table, just being able to give them the necessary nutrition to be able to be successful, supplements and nutrition, just being able to give them recovery drinks after they work out, being able to give them shakes and stuff after they work out. That's not an NIL deal.
Mm-mm.
But nobody else has that. So if you start doing research on what other people don't have, and you start getting what other people don't have at a smaller level, you begin to capitalize the market because people want to come there. People want things. It ain't necessarily got to be money. Generation Z is about having a different experience. What does that experience look like? They talk to their friends. Their friends are recruiting them. You want to be able to have something else to say, to go with it, to say, hey, we got something that can, that your friends don't have.
Coach, let me ask you this. I got to get ready to go to a break at the top of the hour. You want to continue this conversation about 30 minutes here?
Yes, I'm good.
All right, let's do that. We're going to talk some spring football at the top of the hour, but people in the comment section, they are enjoying the conversation. I'm sure people out there on in radio around the Baton Rouge Capital City area enjoying this as well, because it is a true conversation, and it's so many layers to it that I still want to peel back with you, because you being a coach, you understand what this looks like in this ever-changing landscape. You saw what it was before, and you see what it is now. And what used to give coaches time for a few years to build a program, it's like that commercial, it's my money and I want it now. That time is no longer given. It's almost like we got to get it together now because of what's all on the table. So I want to talk more about that in about 30 minutes with you, Coach. That'll work.
Yes, sir. No problem.
All right. That's my man, Coach Dawson Odoms. Coach, we'll get back with you in about 30 minutes. All right, everybody. We're getting to the top of the hour. We're about to get ready to talk some Southern University football. We're going to talk about and recap the spring. My man, Mark Frederick, who's the offensive coordinator, is going to come on and give us a recap of what the offense looked like and how he's feeling coming out of the spring. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.